We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Dante DiVincenzo plays 53 minutes, 25 points. As the Knicks hold on, he's with Rebecca.
Thanks, Mike. Dante, you guys had 5 minutes to secure second place in the Eastern Conference. You got it done with all of those second efforts out there late in this game. What did this win mean to this team?
It's huge. 50-win season, best fans in the league, and now a hell of a regular season. Let's get ready for the playoffs.
You mentioned the 50 wins this season. When you consider the ups and downs, all the injuries that you guys have had to fight through to get to second in the East, how would you describe how you've been able to get it done all year long?
Next man up, and we got an MVP leading the charge.
Speaking of Jalen, everything that he's done for this
And then the 76ers, I mean, it's... I talked about the Embiid thing, and clearly if he is close to peak form, look, he was having one of the best offensive seasons in the history of the NBA. Like, the guy is just, he's going to have a, and John's talked about this. He's going to have a playoff series where he's going to average 35 and he's going to get them to the finals. He's that good on both ends. If he's healthy. Now, offensively, there's just, The last time the Knicks played, when they had Ananobi and Embiid played, it was in Philadelphia in January, and the Knicks they destroyed them. It was and Embiid did not play well in that game. And Hartenstein, if you can remember, like, did enough offensively and really made things hard on Embiid on the defensive end by scoring and making and not allowing Embiid to gain any sort of advantage by resting on that end or trying to get his win back. Like, Hartenstein attacked Embiid in that matchup in January and made things hard, and the Knicks won going away. Now, if you watch that game, and I did a couple of weeks ago to sort of start the preparation for where the Knicks could be in the playoffs, Embiid missed a lot of shots from that elbow range that he's just going to make. And the Knicks contested late. They kept their hands away from, they kept their hands out of the cookie jar, so they didn't reach in. So it was Embiid just missing foul line jumpers, which if he makes, there just isn't much you can do. So that always worries me when you have an offensive player that is as good as Joel Embiid, that could take whatever you're doing defensively, and if he's just playing well, it's just not going to matter what you're doing on the defensive end. And that's a real concern if they play the Knicks. But the other part is, and you saw this with White today, getting downhill and having an easy time getting to the basket. I do worry about where the Knicks are defensively against smaller, quick guards. Because, listen, when you made the trade for Boyan and Burks, you knew you were giving up your best defensive player against smaller guards in Quentin Grimes. And that, to me, is going to be presented as a major issue in a potential 76er matchup, because as elite as Ananobi is on the defensive end, I have never loved him against smaller guards. I think it's asking a lot of him to chase a guy like Tyrese Maxey around for 40 plus minutes. So it's probably going to be a lot of DiVincenzo and some Josh Hart. And I just don't love that matchup, because I think if you're going to, with Ananobi, you probably want him disrupting things as an off-ball player against the 76ers, who lack that dominant wing score. So that, to me, is, it's not as big of a concern as the Embiid factor, but Tyrese Maxey is going to be a tough cover for the Knicks team if they do end up playing them in the first round. But you should not be, Knicks are too good to be afraid of any of those ball clubs. And as Knicks fans who just saw this team win 50 games, you should have enough pride to say, yeah, we could bring on either one of them and we're going to be favored, and Knicks should be favored in that matchup. And we have home court, and we can win that either one of those series. And I think they would be tough, hard fought, close series, but I think the Knicks would win against either team. So thank you, Robert, for getting us kicked off here for this post game show. And Alex, thank you so much for the contribution here. All right, so here we go. This is a good one. This is, to me, going to be a big theme here today. I have mixed feelings right now. Convincing myself Tibbs knows the Heat aren't good and Embiid is completely cooked, and that this team can run either team off the floor with relative ease in 4 or 5 games. Well, I think you're right to have mixed feelings. I think there's the pragmatic view of today, if I'm being honest with myself, is probably get to 3 and play the Pacers. I think that's the pragmatic view, despite not getting the home court in the second round, guaranteed in the second round. I think that's a pragmatic view. I don't know. I think Tibbs is probably just thinking win the game, to be honest with you, and that he just is not one to, as they talked about on the broadcast today, like mess with the basketball gods. It just doesn't seem like it's in his DNA. And I don't think that this team, it's in their DNA, whatever the Cavaliers did by resting their guys in the fourth quarter, man. I don't know if that tells you something about where the Cavs are and where the Knicks are, but to me, it tells you something in terms of how these two teams from the coach on down view basketball, because you had one team in the Knicks that went into overtime, played a guy 50 minutes, and gave everything they could to pull that game out against a scrappy, tough playoff quality Bulls team with a ton of shot makers on the court and Alex Caruso just destroying everything you're trying to do on offense. Knicks still kept their guys there despite Hartenstein, despite Mitch having some medical issues and those guys being held back in the overtime period. And then you have the Cavaliers who rest their guys in the fourth quarter and lose to the Hornets. It tells you something. And the Cavs are going to be here 4. Knicks are on the other side of the bracket. I don't think these two teams are going to end up playing each other. But in terms of like where the Knicks are, where the Cavs are, it tells you something. You should put it that way. So I don't think Tibbs was thinking about matchups here, because he's probably thinking more along the lines of like win the game, get to number 2, get home court guaranteed for the second round. And I don't know like how much pre-scouting they've done on Embiid. I don't think Embiid has looked great since coming back, but he's looked really good. And there's potential that he can continue to round into shape and stay healthy and not have another, ailment pop up here before they end up potentially playing the Knicks as they play the playing game. But I don't think, just to speak to the last part of that super chat, I do not think this is going to be series, I don't care who they're playing, that's going to be done with relative ease. I just have too much respect regarding the Heat and what they do, what they could take away, how crisp you have to be with your rotations against their offense. And, it's obviously not a great offense, but they do things. What they do just holds up in the playoffs, and they make you get into rotation. You have to like, they're all the ghost screening and the Duncan Robinson back screens, rip screens, all the things they do on offense, playing through Adebayo, and then the Butler factor of like whether or not he can level up again in the playoffs. Like there's going to be things they're going to do on offense that just makes it, you just have to be on. You can't let them get open threes and you can't let them get into their flow to disrupt what you're trying to do on the defensive end. And then defensively for them, the Brunson factor, with Highsmith guarding the ball and showing help early and putting the onus on the Knicks ancillary pieces to make plays, is going to be a big factor for them. They're going to figure out a way to slow the Knicks offense down enough to where these games against the Heat are going to go down to the last 5 minutes. They just are most of the time. And then the 76ers, I worry about the Maxey matchup, and I worry about Embiid, even if he's 75%, like he's good enough to get Hartenstein in foul trouble, because that is already, like, I'm already worried about the Hartenstein reach in early in the first quarter. And then if he's in foul trouble, you know, how much can you extend Mitch? He's, as I mentioned here, precautionary, but he didn't play after his first rotation early in the game because of medical recommendation, precautionary for Chris Persianen. But you know, we don't know how much they can extend him. Hopefully it could be, if they need him to play 25, 30 to 30 plus minutes, if there's an issue with Hartenstein and foul trouble against an Embiid matchup, he can do it. But, and then you have the, you know, Anunoby factor, and he has guarded Embiid at times and done a decent enough job to where you don't feel like it's complete. It's a mismatch against anyone, but you feel like Anunoby can hold up pretty well against Embiid, as well as obviously any big wing in the NBA. So I don't necessarily agree with Alex that either one is going to be, or I know Alex is making the point that maybe Tibbs is viewing this. I don't think Tibbs is looking at it in this way. I think he's trying to scratch out as many wins as he can in the regular season, and he's trying to get the best seed for his team as he possibly can. And he did that today, and he pushed his guys, and we knew he'd push his guys, and I don't think his team would want it any different. Thank you, Alex.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Robert Cross again, much credit is to IYBJ, is it's your boy John, Coach Tibbs, and the culture he has built. Let's go Knicks. Thank you, Kev, for spelling that one out for me. So much credit to Tibbs. I talked about it a few times already, but he needs and deserves more shout outs because I think there's this idea that he is a old school coach that has not evolved beyond where the game was when he first got to the NBA or when he first got a head coaching job with the Bulls or when he was an assistant with the Celtics or even with the Knicks before that. But in terms of, like, since he's been a Knicks coach, like, he has certain principles that he's not going to waver on. And those things you can argue are stubborn, but I think for most coaches, they have certain principles that they are just not going to waver on. I think most good coaches have those. And I think Tibbs has his. But I think to get to those principles, one of them being the driving kick game, like, get into the paint, draw help, and then trust the pass, get the team in rotation, and make open shots. Like, that has been since literally day one. Try to improve the corner three frequency. Try to make more corner threes. Try to get more open corner threes. Like, all those things are hallmarks of a good modern offense. And he has helped this Knicks team after losing Julius Randle and not having OG Anunoby for a lot of it and having some challenges in terms of, like, you know, spacing and shooting. And I get it that maybe he can lean into spacing and shooting around Brunson a little more. But I think in terms of where this offensive is, I don't think you can say that he doesn't deserve a lot of credit for helping this team again be one of the top offenses in the NBA. and do it in a way that is very different than last year. I mean, remember last year was a lot, you know, the isolation frequency was much higher with Julius Randle. It was, you know, that it was the possession game, winning that, dominant offensive rebounding, low turnovers, don't foul, get to the free throw line. Like those are like the things. And to be fair, those things kept their ceiling as an offense, you know, on a lower side in the playoffs against the Cavs and against the Heat. Their offense could not get to the point, especially in the half court in both series, to where they were producing enough points. And I think that was because of how they're getting to their offense, and obviously the Randle injury and his lack of performance and efficiency on that end. They just didn't have enough offensively. So I think this year, even without Julius, who I love and will defend to high heaven, even without Julius, I think they are set up better this year than last year in terms of carrying over their offense, which is going to see a hit, because you always see a hit offensively. Usually, you know, unless you're an elite team like the Warriors or the Nuggets, but the Knicks are not going to be as good offensively, but I think they're going to be better offensively. And it's not saying a lot because they were bad in a lot for a lot of those games last year, but I think they're going to be much better set up offensively this year with the better spacing, the DiVincenzo piece of it, the Hartenstein starting, and then Jalen Brunson just being like a significantly better player than he was last year. And that to me is, I made mention of it earlier this week. Like he probably should get some most improved player consideration based on like the leap going from, you know, borderline all-star last year to all NBA first team this year. That is a, you know, it's one thing to go from just like to a ancillary piece, but to go from there to maybe like a solid starter or a solid starter to borderline all-star. Like that's a big leap. But to me, a bigger leap is going from borderline all-star to first team NBA potentially. That to me is a massive leap. So on that factor alone, the Knicks are probably in better shape offensively this year than last. But I think Tibbs has set the culture. That first press conference said it. He set the expectations, and they've gotten guys that perform and treat the game and respect the game and have a similar work ethic that buy into what Tibbs is selling. And it's just a perfect marriage right now in terms of the synergy between the players and the coach. And Tibbs just deserves a lot of credit to get this team to 50 wins. So Robert, couldn't agree more, man. I think Tibbs deserves a ton of credit. Let's go Knicks. Thank you again. Ryan, thank you so much. You're always there supporting us. I appreciate that. A win is a win. Not afraid of Miami. There we go. We match up well versus Philly. Not afraid of the Bucks. This team is too special. Bring on Boston. # Brunts him for first team. Yeah, I think I wouldn't say he's locked up first team all NBA, but I think with another 40 point game today, I think the narrative and the push for him to get to the first team is going to be too strong. And it's probably unfair to Tatum that the Celtics have pretty much wrapped up or have had the first seed wrapped up for seemingly months now. So I think there's probably a little bit of staleness in terms of like how the media is viewing the Celtics. Like they've been so dominant, and it's probably a little boring to vote Tatum first team all NBA. And he's a deserving first team all NBA player. He's had a fantastic year. I think his defense continues to improve. The team has had a monumentally good year, like an incredible year. They're incredibly hard to stop offensively. And Tatum is still, despite the Porzingis factor, despite Jaylen Brown having a really good year and Drew Holiday making every corner three and Derek White doing Derek White things, Jason Tatum is still the most important offensive piece on that team and almost most important player on a team that just ran roughshod over the Eastern Conference. So he is a deserving first team all NBA contender, but Jalen Brunson to me is going to get the nod based on how he was able to carry the team, this Knicks team, over the past several weeks to get them to 50 wins, to get them to the number two seed. So I think that the narrative, you know, sometimes is the reason why things happen in the voting world. In terms of sports awards, I think that Jalen Brunson is going to eke out Tatum on that first team all NBA. And then, you know, in terms of win is a win, not afraid of Miami. I don't, as I mentioned, you should not be afraid of Miami. Just be, just have a healthy level of respect for what they are going to do defensively to make life hard on Jalen Brunson. And this, if they end up playing the Heat, it would be a series based on how well the Knicks respond to the Heat completely, not selling out on him, but overloading or flooding his side of whatever side of the court Brunson is on and really making things feel claustrophobic, which I felt the Knicks, the last time the Heat, they played the Heat, I felt things were claustrophobic for Brunson, and they're going to try to do the same thing. He's going to have to, as a, you know, Tibbs says all the time, read the game, trust the pass and move it. And the Knicks are going to have to make him play pay, but it would be a matchup based on how well the Knicks can take advantage of how Miami is defending Brunson. And in terms of matching up against Philadelphia, let's assume Mitch is fine. He's healthy. You have two centers, two legit high level defensive centers that you can put on him. You have Ananobi, who, if you want to throw at Embiid, it's a pretty good option to have. So you have three guys that you can feel pretty comfortable, and Achiuwa, and it, you know, this is not, I don't know how many minutes he's going to see in that potential series, but he has played Embiid well in the past. Really does a good job of keeping his hands high, doesn't reach in, makes Embiid shoot over the top, which is the best you can do against him. Keep him off the free throw line. That Achiuwa has done a solid job in the past. So you add him to the mix. You have four guys that you don't feel like it's a complete mismatch. And as I mentioned earlier, if Embiid is making that hang dribble pull up from that right elbow, like, it's just going to be a long night. And you just hope that he doesn't have a series where he does that four times, because he can. And that's the worry with him. And, you know, you have Oubre, who has done a nice job on Brunson before. The only other thing I worry about with the 76ers is I talked about the Maxi piece. I don't think the Knicks have a great answer for him on the defensive end, because you don't have the great on-ball defender against small guards like Quentin Grimes was. And, you know, it's not a role that I love Ananobi in for a full game. Do it in spurts. But Maxi was still getting to some of his spots against Ananobi in that January battle. So we'll see where the Knicks go. But I am going to hone in on that matchup. Obviously, 76ers Heat is going to be a big deal. I don't know who I want to see. I probably will lean the Heat in terms of my preferred matchup based on it's one has Embiid, one doesn't. And I think it's as simple as that for me. I think the Knicks, I don't know what the Knicks would probably prefer. I think you just want to stay away from the Hall, you know, the, not just a Hall of Famer, but you want to stay away from the guy having one of the great offensive seasons in the history of the NBA. Like, that guy you just don't want to see as the higher seed. It's just, he can wreck a playoff, man. He can just, it would not, would it shock anyone? Like, if just be, I know we're like on cloud nine, the 50 wins and the number two seed, but would it shock any of you if Embiid averages 35 in that series and Maxi averages 26 or 24 on decent efficiency, and the Sixers, you know, are playing a game seven are playing, a deciding game against the Knicks? It wouldn't shock me. I think that's the worry. So I don't know. I think I'd probably want to see the Heat there. But Ryan, thank you so much for that super chat. I really appreciate it.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about T-Squared Social, your new home for watching Knicks games and the new home of Knicks Film School Watch Parties. Located at 7 East 42nd Street, just a short walk from Grand Central, take it from me, this place has everything for a sports fan. This Wednesday, the Sixers and the Heat will battle it out in the play-in to earn the right to take on the Knicks in the first round. You can head to T-Squared and watch it on the biggest screen in New York City, as well as the other 7 play-in games, all week long. Interested in watching more than just basketball? Ask them to put the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, or the Islanders on one of their other dozen screens. As always, you can check out one of their golf simulators or play duck pin bowling or hit them up on one of their trivia nights. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
Heath, appreciate the contribution. Always appreciate you guys supporting us, keeping this operation going. Giving up to duck an opponent would be the absolute antithesis of what the Knicks franchise is. Hell of a season. Time to ride with our guys. No matchup will be easy. Thanks for another great regular season, KFS. Well, thank you guys. This is my second year with KFS, and from the start, it's been an absolute blast. I know I am completely biased, but I think in the content world and covering teams, and what we do, I think that we do it better than anyone, top to bottom. So it's an absolute honor to be a small part of it and to help produce content that we can all be proud of, because I think that's what KFS does day after day. So kudos to everyone else on the KFS faculty. You guys are all incredible. I learned so much from all of you. You guys are all obviously you guys mean the world to me as friends, as colleagues, and just to do this with you guys has been an absolute pleasure. And the first part, we're not going to duck an opponent. I talked about it, that's not Tibbs. That's not the franchise. I think Keith nails it. It's not the team. They weren't going to do it. They weren't going to do what the Cavs did by resting their guys in the fourth quarter. They were just not. You have a medical issue with Mitch, keep him out. Fine. Hartenstein's got a minutes restriction. Not going to want to push it. He played 30 minutes today. You're not going to want to push that more. That's why he didn't play the overtime. But beyond that, I mean, DiVincenzo, 50 minutes, first time in his career. They were going to play, and they're going to go through the finish line, as Tibbs talked about. They weren't going to duck any opponent. I don't think the matchup was, any of them were that far apart in terms of like an obvious first round opponent. I don't think the Pacers were an obvious first round opponent in terms of quality of play. The team is a pain in the ass to guard, and they make you play fast. And it's just would not have been an easy walk in the park series if they ended up playing Indiana. And even if there was like a clear choice, I just don't think this team, this coach, this franchise would have tried to finagle their way into a matchup they deemed to be better, because that's, as Keith says, it's the antithesis of what this franchise is right now. And I talked about pride and how much we are proud of this team. And that's the reason why, right? There's a pragmatic view, and then there's just like, this is what sports is. You try to win every game and you try to compete every single time you're out there. And that's the thing I think we all appreciate about this team as a New York ball club, New York fans. This is what we appreciate, what they do time and again. And it's why of all the regular seasons I've watched, I can't remember a regular season that has brought me this much pride and joy. So part of that, almost all of it, is based on how they play and how they carry themselves. So thank you, Keith. Really appreciate that. I couldn't agree more with your sentiment. Dan Hidalgo, thank you so much. Screw it. Bring on Philly. JB for MVP. So Dan has laid down his marker. He wants to see the 76ers. I'm curious if we have more of those, where it's going to be. Maybe we could put out a poll later on in terms of like who as Knicks fans we prefer to see. I have my inclination to not want to see Embiid, but I think it's fair to just want Philly based on, Embiid maybe not be at his best, and just don't want to see the Heat because of all the struggles and all the stress that they can provide. I mean, they are a challenge in their own right. So I am curious though, if you guys have any other preferences regarding who you want to see, Philly or Miami. Cause I think it's a fascinating thought experiment in terms of like what each team could do.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? you won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very different. They have different strengths and weaknesses, clearly, but regardless, I think either one is going to present the Knicks with some problems. It will not be easy because Knicks don't do things easy. And that's part of the, it's part of why we love them. I think JB for MVP, like he's going to get a lot of, he's not going to win it, but he is in terms of like the spirit of that award. If you look at some of the on off numbers offensively, like he is, they go from a fantastic offense to a tragic offense when he is off the court. When he's playing, they are humming. They're just hard to guard. There's no great answers for him right now. There's better answers than some. Like you just can't play drop against him. So I think that is a bad answer. But there's, if you want to put two on the ball, it's a problem because they've gotten so adept at moving it and making you pay. If you play some sort of isolation game, like that to me, depending on some of the pieces, like if you're Miami, you probably are okay with Bam coming out and playing an ISO against Brunson. If I'm the Knicks, I probably don't want to see that as I'm thinking about it, because I think Bam is one of the better on-ball defenders on the perimeter, has been for years. So he can give Brunson problems by staying in front and contesting late. But I think that in terms of like where going back to Dan's point here about Brunson being the MVP and what he can provide on the offensive end and how the Knicks perform when he's not, like, I don't know if there's any, a better indication of like a value than those on off offensive numbers, which are incredible in terms of the difference. John's talked a lot about it, how much better they are when Brunson is on the court versus off. So in the playoffs, you're going to get 40 plus minutes, so it won't be as much of an issue, but there will be games where you're going to get McBride in the game and he's with Boyan, and you're going to have to figure out a way in those 5 to 8 minutes that to string together some baskets. That's why I thought those Boyan points in the fourth quarter so huge, because they're going to need him to have stretches like that in the playoffs to win a couple of rounds. But Dan, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Bernard Richardson, 2-seed us. Yes, sir. We're about to put these demons through an Iron Man. Let's fucking go, Knicks. Why not now? Why not now is right. Go to the KFS merch store. Maybe you could put the link in the YouTube chat. Got some merch out there. The why not now? Or is it why not now or why not us? I think it's why not now is all the merch for the KFS, for the playoff motto. That's right. Why not now? I've in January talked about the ceiling of this team winning, potentially going to the finals completely healthy. I've had to accept the Randall loss and try to recalibrate how I view this team and how they're, you know, what their ceiling is. But look, it's not the time to necessarily discuss that in like great detail, but I am not going to put a ceiling on them right here, right now. They're the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. Like if you're the number 2 seed in the East, like you have a fighting chance to get to the NBA Finals. Which, I mean, saying it out loud seems insane based on no Randall, where this team, you know, all the ups and downs this year, but they are the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and things happen. Boston will have to play 2 rounds before a potential Knicks matchup, and that's a lot of minutes on the court that things can go haywire, injuries and such. Obviously not rooting for that, but things happen. Things happen in the playoffs. It happened in the playoffs last year. That injuries were a big part of how those playoffs, especially in the Eastern Conference, ended up playing out for the Knicks, for the Heat, for the Bucks. So I think you have to view the Knicks as a live threat here. We'll have plenty of time to talk about any potential Boston matchup. I'm not going to go down that route because we have a tough first round ahead of us, regardless of who wins against the Heat or the 76ers. But we are the 2 seed, and there is no reason why the Knicks can't see themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals in like a game 5 in Boston tied 2-2 with a shot to win it. You know, that's the sort of where this team is right now. And I'm not going to cap their ceiling because they deserve us to view them as a live threat to get to the finals because they're the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, and that deserves respect. So put some respect on them, and I'm sure it's all going to do that right now. Thank you, Bernard. Dom to Dennis, thank you so much. I love you guys. And we love you too. It's like the sweetest message I've ever gotten here on the on a KFS post-game show. That is, I think there's love in the air right now. And I think that there's a lot of good feelings, a lot of good vibes. Vibes are immaculate, dare I say. And I feel like we are all feeling that because of pride and feeling like we've gotten to an important stage that we can now view this team as a number two seed and just sit with it for a bit. Let these other teams go battle out in the play-in, and we can sort of sit back, relax, watch those games with maybe a little bit of stress-free viewing, because we view us as better than both of those teams. And I think you, the Knicks and the Knicks fans, should view themselves as better than whoever comes out of that Heat 76er matchup. So I am looking forward on a personal level to watch the play-in and just enjoy it, because the Knicks have given us that. They've given us a prideful season that gives us a little break here to respect and to honor this team that deserves respect and honor based on where they came from, what they had to deal with, and all of it. I think there's just a level of inevitable has been talked about a lot regarding Jalen Brunson, but the way the Knicks play is inevitable. And the what they do and how they respect the game and how they don't give an inch is inevitable. And in the regular season, that's worth a lot of wins, especially when you are equipped with an MVP candidate. Even when you lose an all-star, the Knicks give themselves a floor that is high enough that allows them with their superstar to win a lot of games just based on sheer will. And I know that edge, that advantage gets almost erased in the playoffs. And that has been the biggest criticism of any Thibodeau team. And I think it's a valid one. And it's something we are going to have to reckon with as fans and as, you know, analysts of this team. Is like, is there another level for them to get to? Because there's been the We Here season, obviously, and the Cavs series last year. You know, I felt like the Cavs present some options for the Knicks that just that the Knicks are uniquely equipped to take advantage of. But in the playoffs against the Heat, you know, some of them, what the Knicks do offensively, and I talked about the struggles they had, things were very tough in the playoffs on the offensive end for the Knicks. But I feel like this team is a little different. I feel like they have more answers. And it starts with obviously Jalen Brunson, but it's beyond him. It's the Hartenstein factor. It's when things are drying up and you see this time and time again, you run your initial action on one side, nothing's materializing. You watch Hartenstein flash to the around the elbow extended area, high post area, ball swung to him. You already have, let's say, DiVincenzo on the Hartenstein side. So it's three players on the Brunson side that was running the initial action, and then DiVincenzo and Hartenstein on the other. So Hartenstein flashes, and then you could play two-man game with Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, DHOs or blind pig, and you could do certain things and that can keep the offense moving. The Knicks play out of flow more now than I can ever remember a Knicks team playing. You probably have to go back to some of the 80s, like high scoring teams, which I didn't obviously see play, but there was some, you know, good offensive there, but they never did in the 90s. And even the 12-13 team, it was like a driving kick team And obviously you had the Carmelo having an MVP scoring season and the shooting around him. That was sort of the MO, but this team now can do so many things offensively based on the dexterity of Hartenstein and his ability to make plays with the ball in his hands. It's an element they didn't have fully realized last year, but it's fully realized this year. And with Brunson's elevation and DiVincenzo and McBride, I don't know how many minutes he'll get on a game to game basis, but he is a legitimate threat offensively. And I think there's going to be games where Bojan is going to string together some big offensive plays sequences for this team. So there's just more answers this year than there were last year. So I'm fully expecting the Knicks to play better on the offensive end this year, because there's more options. So I'm looking forward to see where they can go, and when things are, the initial action is choked off, just keep an eye on like how they can get to their second side stuff, because it really wasn't a great option last year. It's a better option this year. Thank you, Dom. Sam Garcia's dad, number two, never felt so good. Bring on anybody. Yeah. See, this is the sentiment that I love. Number two never felt this good. They were number two in 12-13. If I'm not mistaken, I think they had the second best record that year. And that team was as good as they were. There was they had peaked a little earlier in the season. If I'm not mistaken, just felt like they were a little stale as they got to the playoffs. Obviously Melo had the shoulder thing, and there was some age that has, whether it was Jason Kidd and some of the other pieces, maybe getting a little fatigued down in the stretch. So yes, they were the number two seed. I didn't feel great about them going to that playoff round because of how they got there despite winning 54 games. But this year, I think peaking for where this team is right now, I feel like they are peaking. I feel like they are playing their best basketball right now that they're capable of playing. I don't know if it's the best version of this team based on no Randall, but if you take Randall out of the picture here, and he's out of the picture, I feel like, again, 6-1 since the Randall news that he was going to miss the year. Big factor. The Knicks needed that clarity to move past. It's always like, you never look at, whether it's any kind of health stuff, it's like the worst part always feels like when you don't know, when things are up in the air, when there's question marks, and when things happen, even if they suck, you can prepare for them and you can move past and you can adjust, and mentally you can kind of take the next step. And I think that was important for this team. And I think it was borne out in that 6-1 record. But I feel like with this current group, with Mitch back and Ananobi looking really good, I feel like they're peaking at the right time. That 12-13 team was not. So I think that's why I agree with Sam Garcia's dad here, that number two never felt so good, because this team as a number two seed is a live threat that I feel like transcends that 12-13 ball club. My opinion anyway. Bring on anyone. I feel like it's the right way of looking at it. I can talk till I'm blue in the face about the Heat and the 76ers and all the problems they can present, but the Knicks should be favored in either one of those series or matchups. So going to be interesting to see who they end up getting. Thank you so much for that super chat. Really appreciate it.